Okay, let's begin our discussion of this week's topic, which I thought would be appropriate, being that this is the only time that the same Haftorah is read 2 weeks in a row, the same Haftorah in Yerushalayim, so maybe we should talk about the Haftorah. And the story that has to do with, obviously, Parsha Zachar, but also has to do with Purim, and it is the story of Shaul and Agag and Shmuel. So we'll review the story a little bit and then try to learn two or three life messages from the story that we have, that, again, those of us who will not be in Yerushalayim this Shabbos already heard of last week, but it's, you know, we're still between Parsha Zachar and Purim, which we're supposed to get these messages. So let's review the story. You have it on page number one. You have the story of, going over to page number two, the story. What's the story? Shaul HaMelech is now the king, and Shmuel gives him a command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to destroy Amalek. You have to destroy Amalek, and you know this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. You're the king, you have to get rid of Amalek, everything that they stand for, everything they want to do to Klal Yisrael, this is what you have to do. Atal lech v'kises Amalek, we're not going to read every pasuk, but pasuk Gimel v'achraptim is called a shalom, v'osach malalav, don't have rachmanus, v'matam isha ad isha, v'yolo ad yonek v'chulu. Vayishmaha shola sa'am vayafkidim batlaim. He gathers the people and he goes to Amalek and he fights Amalek. But as we know, he did not fulfill exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to fulfill. Vayitpo says Agag malach Amalek cha. He takes the king Agag alive. He does not kill him. Eskola mechrim lifi charev. Vayachmol shova amal Agag valmeta vatzon. Vabakar vamishnim. He has rachmanus. He has compassion on the on the Agag, on the Tzon, on the Bakar. What do these poor little animals do? V'yalkalato, v'lo'ova, achrimam, v'chulu. Fine. V'hi dvar Hashem el Shmuel Eymar. Hashem says to Shmuel, nichamti pasuk yud aleph. Kaviyochol, whatever that means. I feel bad that I made Shaul the king. Ki imlachti Shaul HaMelech. Ki shov me'acharai. He has been gone away from me. V'estavarai lo ikim. V'yichal Shmuel. And remember, this is all with background a few prakim earlier when Shaul, Bnei Yisrael originally asked for a king. Hashem, Lahavdil slash Shmuel, were very upset. What are you asking a king for? Shmuel got very angry. Kadosh Baruch Hu got very angry. But either way, Shmuel gets upset. V'yizak el Hashem kol ha'layla. V'yashki Shmuel likras Shaul baboker. Shmuel gets up in the morning, goes to Shaul, and Vayavo Shmuel Oshol, Vayomel Oshol, Baruch Atol Hashem, Hakimosi es Dvar Hashem. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Shmuel sees Shaul, Shaul sees Shmuel, Shaul says, Shmuel, great to see you! Oh, Hakimosi es Dvar Hashem. It feels really good that I did exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked me to do. Hakimosi es Dvar Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel, Shmuel says, Umeh kol atzon hazeh ba'aznoi. Right, this is onomatopoeia in Tanakh. It's a fancy word, right? Umeh kol atzon, meh, right? The sheep. Umeh kol atzon hazeh ba'aznoi. What is this? What is this sound that I hear? V'kol ha'bakar, v'yom r'shom, v'yom aleki evyum. Well, they're from the Amalekim. Asher chom ala ha'it v'atzon. They're for karbanos. They're for karbanos. We gather the animals to bring karbanos. V'yom r'shmuel o'shol, heref agid alecha. Shmuel says, leave me alone and listen to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to you. Are you small in your eyes? We'll get back to that pasuk by Hashem in a couple of minutes. Hashem sent you to do something. Why didn't you listen? I did listen. Well, what's the problem? I fought the war. Here's Agag. Here's Agag. The Am took from the Shalal Tzon Uvakar to bring for karbanos. But Yomer Shmuel, Shmuel says, a biting line. Hachafitz Lashem ba'olos uzvachim kishmoa b'kol Hashem. You think Hashem wants karbanos? You know what Hashem wants? He wants you to listen to him. He thinks he wants karbanos. Hashem told you to get rid of these animals. He nishmoa mizevach tov lakshiv mechilev elim v'chulu, and he continues. But Yomer Shmuel, Shmuel, chatasi ki avardi es b'Hashem I sinned v'chulu ki aresi asa'am. We'll get back to all of these underlined parts. Vatasana chatasi, please just walk back with me. Shmuel says, no, I'm leaving. Shmuel turns around. Shaul grabs his cloak. As we know, the cloak rips. Vayachzik b'knabido vayikara vayomer lav Shmuel. Shmuel says, you ripped my cloak, your malchus, so too is going to be ripped from you. Finally, Shaul says to Shmuel, please just walk back with me. And finally, at the top of the second page, Shmuel agrees. What exactly was Shaul's mistake? What are we supposed to learn from this? And as a contrast, as a question, why does Shaul lose his malchus because of his chait, while David HaMelech, who was not perfect, however one understands the chataim of David, they were chataim. Yes, the Gemara says in Shabbos, kol omer David chatei in elatoa, that doesn't mean it was perfect. He wasn't one of the four people who never sinned. Whoever says David was chotei, according to the pshuto shel mikra, eino elatoa. But he did something wrong. So, but David didn't lose his malchus because of his chataim. So what's the difference? So what did Shaul do wrong? Why was his sin different than David HaMelech's sin? That's specifically on this Haftarah. But let's ask another question, which is going to relate to this as well. Again, a topic of a separate shiur, but we're going to put at least part of this into our discussion here. When we think of David HaMelech, if we were writing the history of our Messiah, the history of David HaMelech, right? If somebody called you up and said, you know what, I have a great shidduch for your daughter. Really? Tell me about him. Well, his great-grandmother's a Moabite. Hope that's okay. His ancestry includes Benos Lot and Yehuda and Tamar. But he's a great guy. He's a great guy. His yichus is just a little tainted. Why did that have to be? Right, there's nothing coincidental in Jewish history, especially the yichus of David HaMelech. It wasn't like, oh, it just so happened. There's obviously a message here. And we're not going to talk about any of the specific stories, because all the people in the stories were L'shem Shamayim, right? Lo's daughters thought the whole world was finished. Tamar had a Ruach HaKodesh that she was supposed to be with Yehuda. And what about Rus and Boaz? All of these stories are a little bit, gray to again, each of them could be explained. But there's a pattern of murkiness in the background of David HaMelech. And the question is, what's the message for us? This is going to relate to the story on hand. Okay, three ideas, as we often like to have. Idea number one. If you look closely at the story over and over again in this perek, Shaul keeps saying, it was the Am. It was the Am. What are these animals? Well, the Am took them to bring karbanos. What are you doing? Well, the Am made me do it. I underlined it, a few of them. Asher chamal ha'am. Ve'ikach ha'am me'ashalal. Shaul keeps saying, it was the Am's fault. It was the Am's fault. This was his downfall. This was his downfall. Shaul HaMelech, as the Psukim describe, earlier in his life, he might have been a tzaddik, but he was not a successful king. Why wasn't he a successful king? Because he didn't stand up to the Am. He was influenced and cared very much about the Am. There's one line in the Shemi Shmuel. It's quoted here in the Sefer Zichron Arav, which they put out for Rav Soloveitchik's, one of his yard sites. So there's an article by Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht, who's yard site was just this past week also. One line of the Shemi Shmuel, where he quotes from his grandfather, the Kutzker Rebbe, says the Kutzker, second line in source number three, De'inyin hamalucha lohaya nimsa b'Yisrael v'yutzrichen likach zos be'amunu moav. Wow. Says the Shemi Shmuel, to be a melech is not something naturally Jewish. For one Jew to rule over another Jew. That's not something that we believe in. We believe in Haftarecha Kamocha. We believe in we're all part of a unit. We're all equal. Tzalem Elokim. So, being a melech, ruling over, the people with an iron fist, and melech shemachal akfodo, ain't kfodo machal, it's not like a Talmud Chacham. It's not like a parent. It's ain't kfodo machal. That's a little harsh. That's a little sharp. You need it to be a good king. To be a successful king, you have to rule. You're the melech. And all the rights of the melech. So explains Rav Goldwicht, based on this Shemi Shmuel, that's why David HaMelech needed a little Moabite blood in him. in order to help him be successful, along with all of the, obviously, Yehuda and everything that came from his, you know, from being Shevet Yehuda and David HaMelech. But he says, Basha kol Yisrael ki ish achad hema, eino shach she'achad yistarer al chaveiro, kamo she'ena eber echad sheba'adam, yistar ala eber acher. One limb is not going to rule over another limb. We're all one body. U'moshe Rabbeinu alav ha'shalom shayam melech, even Moshe Rabbeinu, he grew, had grew up in Paro's house, and his wife was Midian. He had a head of a little Ammon and Moab in him. David HaMelech was a successful king because he ruled over the Am. As we'll see in a minute, he didn't care what the Am felt. He did what he knew was right because this is what he has to do. Shaul HaMelech, his downfall that he was mushpa, and he was affected by the Am. And that's why he lost the Malchus. Why? Well, first let's see another story that relates to this, and then we'll get back to our original question. Fascinating conversation quoted in the Medrash. Often the Midrashim fill in conversations that are not in the text of the Navi. So if you remember the story in Shmuel Beis Perek Vav, David HaMelech finally, he's in Yerushalayim. He tried to bring the Aron back earlier. There was tragedy. Parrots, Uzzah, things didn't work out. So the Aron stayed somewhere for another 20 years. And then finally, there was a Simon. Okay, time to bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim. So he's bringing the Aron back, and they're having this whole parade. Every six steps, they stop, and they bring Karbanas. It's unbelievable. All the Bnei Yisrael were there, and they're bringing it. They know Yerushalayim is supposed to be the place. They bring Karbanos. And the Psukim say, on the top of the next page, V'David mecharkar b'chal oz lefnei Hashem. David is dancing his head off in front of the Aron. The Rambam quotes this when he talks about true simcha. The David Chol Beisol Malam is Aron. They're bringing the Aron up. It's they don't have a base on Mikdash yet, obviously, but they're bringing it up to Yerushalayim. What an amazing day! And the pasuk says, "Vayaron Hashem bab ir David u'michal bashol." Michal, the daughter of Shaul, David's wife. Right? We happen to know who Michal is. Interesting that the pasuk has to tell us Bas Shaul. We know Michal, David's wife. Nishkava Barachalon. She looks outside through the window and she sees her husband dancing in front of the whole Am. Vateres HaMelech David Mefazezu Mecharker Lefnei Hashem Vatives Lo Beliba. And she becomes disgusted by seeing her husband dancing in front of everyone. And they bring Karbanas Vechulu. And at the end of the day, Pazachava Yeshev David Lavarech Hasbeis. So David comes home, probably throws off his jacket. He falls onto the couch and he says, "Wow, what a day. Woo! Wow." Vateti Michal Bashalikras David. And Michal meets him and says, sarcasm in Tanakh, Vatomer, Banichmara Yo Melech Yisrael, what a great day today was. All the maidservants of the land saw your elbows, saw you sweating and dancing. Come on. What exactly were you doing? Michal says to David. And David answers something very cryptic. "I'm the king, not your father." That's what the Psukim say. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Vayomer David al Michal, Lefnei Hashem asher bachar biyim yavicha, I dance in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm the king and not your father. What's going on here in the conversation? The Yalkut Shimon, he fills in. Then Michal is saying, "My father would never have acted in such a way. He would have been much more proper. He would have kept his jacket buttoned, his shirt, you know, tucked in. That's my father." And David says, "Yeah, that's why he's not the king. Because he was very worried about what everybody else was thinking. And I knew that I had to give it my all to dance in front of the Aron as I bring the Aron back to Yerushalayim. David HaMelech ruled over the people. And he didn't care what everybody else thought. And that's why, coming to the punchline, says the Sefer Ikarim Rabbi Yosef Albo, that's why David HaMelech, he was not perfect. He did a number of Averis, but he didn't lose the Malchus because of it. Because his Averis were personal. His Averis were, in terms of Batsheva, in terms of counting the people, whatever it is, they were Averis that he did. But it wasn't undermining of the Malchus. Shaul's Averis was that it was based, connected to the Malchus. And that's why he had to lose the Malchus because of it. Like the Sefer Yikarim gives a mashal, right? If somebody sins against the king, fine. But if he's the treasurer and he counterfeits money, you know, that's not stop. Oh, he has a personal avera that he has to get over. He's a counterfeiter and he's working in the treasury of the king. Message number one. We're not kings, but the yesod is the same. We have to stand up for what we believe in. We have to stand up in life, even if sometimes it's against the grain. It's against what's going on around us. Hopefully in yeshiva in these years, we're all, I mean, sometimes we might have it in a certain sense. You know, I got to get up on time, even if I see my two roommates, they're being a little late and having trouble getting out of bed. I got to get up and I got to jump. But out there in other circles, you know, sometimes it's a little more challenging. But, right, Tur Arachayim, Simin Aleph, the first Simin in the Tur, in all of the Tur. Right, he quotes the Mishnah, Yehuda ben Tema. Have az kanamer vekal kanasher ratz katzvi. You got to be like strong like a leopard. You fast like a nesher, like a vulture. Ratz katzvi gibar kari lefishu klal gadol. You have to stand up. Pa'amim adam chaviz lasos mitzvah. Sometimes we want to do something. Nimnami lasosa. We're embarrassed. People are going to make fun of us. No, we got to do what's right. The Be'er HaChayim, Rav Bitterman quotes, why do we need the animals as mishalim? Why can't Yehuda ben Tema just say, be strong, be fast, be ferocious? Why does he have to say, be as fast as a tzvi, be as strong as a lion? Just say, be strong, be fast, be quick. He explains, beautiful, unbelievable. Does a tzvi have to think about in the morning, you know what, I think I'm going to be fast today. I think I'm going to try to have a fast day today. Does the Ari say, you know what, I'm not in the mood to be a gibor today. I think I'm going to just stay chalash. No, of course not. An Ari, that's his essence. He's a gibor. The tzvi has to be what he is. The nesher has to be kal. There's no questions about it. That's what we have to condition ourselves to be. It has to be natural. It has to be part of who we are. To stand up and be strong and be Oz. We mentioned in the past, so you remember this, why the name Moshe is the one that stuck. Right? The Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu had many different names. Aviza Noach, Avigdor, Tuvia, but Moshe was the name that stuck. Why was the name that stuck? So you mentioned the Pshat, Min HaMayim Ishisiyu. Such a significant act, pulled from water. That's why Moshe gets his name, pulled from water. Doesn't sound like such an exciting name. I like to give the mashal. Sounds like an Indian name. You know, what's your name? Big Storm. Why? Born during a big storm. Big storm. You know, what's your name? Pulled from water. That's my name. Doesn't sound like so exciting. So we mentioned in the past, I think it was in the name of Rav Amital. No, pulled from water. Water represents the ultimate in conformity. The ultimate in fitting into your surroundings. I pour water into this water bottle, it becomes the shape of the water bottle. I put water into a triangular container, it becomes a triangle. Water is the ultimate in conformity. Moshe was pulled from the water. Moshe was the anti-water. Moshe stood up for what he knew what was right, even though it was against everybody. He went out, he grew up in Paro's palace, he sees an Egyptian beating up a Jew. What did he do? He stood up and he did what he knew what he had to do. He sees two Jews, he went to Midian, he was a fugitive. You would think he would want to keep a low profile. He goes to the well that was Times Square in Midian, and he goes and he starts up with these shepherds. Because he was Az Kanomer. It was who he was. He couldn't not do it. And that's why ultimately Moshe was Menahem Shisiyu, and he taught that message to all of Klal Yisrael by Kriyas Yamsuf, pulling all of them from the water. But that's message number one that we learned from the story. We have to stand up for what we know is right. Because this is what we have to do. We're servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though sometimes it's challenging. There's a lot more related to that, but we'll leave that for now. Number one. Number two. Let's talk a little bit about Amalek. What Amalek symbolizes, and what was the emphasis of having to destroy Amalek. So again, this you might have heard from in other contexts. We're going to see it again, a couple of sources related. Rashi quotes on Parsha Zachar, the end of Kisetse, Asher Karcha Baderech. Very hard word to translate. What does that mean? Amalek was Karcha you. Rashi quotes three pshatim. Very unusual for Rashi to quote three pshatim. Rashi doesn't even say this is the pshat and this is the drash. Rashi just quotes three pshatim. Asher Baderach, source number 9, Lashon Mikra. Mikra, coincidence. Amalek was going and you were going and Amalek bumped into you. Wow, what a coincidence. Amazing. Lashon Mikra. Dabar Acher, Lashon Keri Vituma. Karcha, impurity. He impurified you. Dover Acher, Lashon Kar Vachom. Karcha, he made you cold. Asher Karcha. Shat Sinancha Vihivshircha Miriticha. He cooled you off from your boiling state. Shahayukala Umos Yerem Lilachimachem. All the nations were nervous. They didn't want to fight with you. Ubazev Hischil. This one came very Makalachirim. We were on fire. All the other nations were scared of us. They wouldn't want to come near us. And you know what? He said, it's okay. And he was the first one. Rashi gives the mashal to the Ambati Rosachas, the boiling hot tub. Nobody wants to go in. One person goes in, he gets burned. But he cooled it off for everybody afterwards. So he cooled us off. So number one, coincidence. Number two, impurity. Number three, cold. Explain the Mefarshim, the Bali Musar. I gave it to you from Rav Sternbach, both in his Shuvas, Shuvas Vahanagos, and in his Sefer Moadim Muzmanim. Maybe all three Pshatim of Rashi could be joined. Amalek, the root of Amalek is coincidence. The root of Amalek is HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in the equation. He's not involved. Maybe he created the world, but then he's a busy being. Went somewhere else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not involved. Right, many point out the gematria of Amalek is suffix. He put doubt into the world. He created coincidence. All the entire history of the world, all of those that don't recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we, when we have those moments that we don't think about Hashem, it's from the koch of Amalek. That things just happen. Things are coincidental. Somebody ate a bat, and then he didn't get sick, and then look what happened. And there's a virus at the whole world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's in charge. That's the power of Amalek if we think that way. Right? And that's the source of impurity. Right? When we don't put HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the picture. And that's cooling off Emuna in the worlds. Everybody believed in Kriyas Yamsuf and the Makos. And he said, nah, it was a strong breeze, strong tide. And all the other explanations that could be given. And that's all chilling of Emuna. Is from that power of Amalek. And Rashi quotes at the end of Bishalach, this is going to be the reality until Mashiach comes. Right, Rashi quotes that at the end of Bishalach, the laning for Purim morning, Kiyot al Kes Ka, Kes, it should say Kisei, this chair of Hashem, but there's no Aleph there. It just says Kaf Samach. Where's the Aleph? The Kisei, the chair of the throne of Hashem, which means Hashem's revelation in the world is only going to be complete when Mashiach comes. Because Amalek put this power of doubt in the world. Right, they say over that even the name Amalek, if you think of the Ayin Mem Lamed Kuf, it's an Am that takes the most exciting things, the top of the Lamed, the tallest letter of the Aleph Beis, and schleps it down to the bottom of the Kuf. It's an Am that does that. The Am that can take the most amazing things and say, there's no such thing as Nes, there's no such thing as a Kadosh Baruch Hu being involved in the world. That's his power. That's his power. And that, of course, is what Haman believed in. Right? Why do we call Purim Purim? What a strange name. Right? There are so many other details that we could have called it. Chag Mordechai the Esther, Chag HaYeshua. So many other names. The Chag of the Lottery. Didn't the lottery, isn't that what like got us in trouble in the first place? Haman had a lottery. So there's another pshat, which we're not going to get into now, but maybe it's not from the Lashon of Purim, but the Pasha says Purim is from the poor. Al-Shem HaPur, but that's what we overcame. Haman believed it was all poor. It was all Purim. It was all lottery. It was all chance. It was all things happen. Hey, Adar, it works out. Works out amazing. Moshe died in this month. All good. And for him, it was really all bad. But that's the power of Amalek. That's the power of Haman. And the message for us of this second idea, why Hashem had to tell Shaul, get rid of Amalek, is that we need to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu on our radar. So often we forget and we lose focus. We lose focus. Again, that same article of the Baruch Haim, Rabbi Biderman quotes a story. Pamis Arba Boker Amarlu Zugaso. Somebody wakes up in the morning and says, Chalom Chalam Balayla Venehu Zochel Adaber Mashchina. Nanta Isha Vamra Bepijas Imbaz Hashum Chidish Klal. Bechulu. Sorry, let me just see the. He quotes, Yeshli Zman Lachshov Lahara Kodesh Baruch Meshach Hayom. His wife says, you know, you think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu today. So he says, how can I have time to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu? I'm busy all day. I'm going to learn, then I'm going to daven, then I'm going to do this mitzvah and that mitzvah and take care of this and take care of that. Who has time to think about a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Sometimes we lose sight of the mitzvah because we're both so busy doing mitzvos. Halavai, that should be the worst thing we're doing. But even while we're doing mitzvos, sometimes we lose sight, right? The whole set of Svarim, Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, it's all about this topic. To bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives. Because we often focus. We often lose focus. It's a beautiful Sefer, right? The Art Scroll has a Sefer out, the six constant mitzvahs. Right, the six mitzvahs smidios, the Sefer HaChinuch, the first Bir Halacha in Arachayim quotes the Sefer HaChinuch, the six mitzvahs smidios. So on Yichud Hashem, right, all of them, we can like, kind of have an idea of what it means. Like, what are the six mitzvahs smidios? Right, believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avodah Zarah, right, Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, V'los Asur Achrei Levavchem, Yichud Hashem, what does that mean? Hashem Echad. Believe in the oneness of God. So, they explain there that part of that is exactly what we're talking about. Putting HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives and recognizing that everything is connected to Him. Capital H. Any headache that we have, everything. Right? Cold, sick children, car trouble come from Hashem. They were created to bring you closer to Him, no less than your Siddur and your Gemara. Certain levels of perfection can be attained by davening and studying Torah, and others can be attained only when you are in bed with the flu or in the waiting room of a doctor's office with your child. There are aspects of your personality that will be refined when you learn how to deal with the frustrations of a car that will not start. It's very hard while the situation is happening for us to think of this. When we're going through the frustrating situation, when you just missed the bus, when you bang your shin, right? Whatever it is, it's hard, but we have to try to do what we can to recognize this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because anything else would be the power of a malik in us. And we have to try to conquer that, and that's what Purim is about. Number two. And finally, the third idea. And this has to do with the actual story, if you look back in source number one. And when you hear this idea, it's just Pashup Shan and the Psukim. What made Shmuel finally accept and say, I'll walk back with you? Okay. He goes to Shaul, and Shaul says, oh, I did great. I listened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the sheep that I hear? No, it's the Am. They brought it. But you're in charge. No, I was afraid of the Am. I'm sorry, but it was... Shmuel turns around. He says, I'm not interested. What does he say? Then he says... Turns around. He says, I did sin. But... It's because ... The Am made me do it. Because I scared. Because Shmuel continues walking away. He rips his clothing. What's the final stage? Shmuel says, Chatasi. Please come back and just give me the honor of walking back with me. Shaul teaches us the process of tshuva. The yesod of tshuva. First, the process is that first we deny. First we... try to explain, try to be more heter. Hashem would have wanted me to do this. It's not really Lashon Hara. You know, it's everybody knows. Any excuse in the book. We're great at being down l'kav schus ourselves. We're great. It's a mitzvah. So we're great about being down l'kav schus ourselves. You know, somebody else leaves davening early. I can't believe they're leaving davening early. What are they doing? You know, I have to leave. I have to things to take care of. Whatever the situation is, right? We look at everyone else, and we have. So the first is excuses. We didn't do it. The second is okay. I did something wrong, but it's because. Finally, the third is just to recognize that I did something wrong, without any excuses. and we just have to, we have to try to do what we can to get back. If you remember the story, just to contrast, David HaMelech, Batsheva, Nathan HaNavi gives David HaMelech the mashal of the sheep of the poor man. Remember the story? And he says, what happens if the rich man steals the sheep of the poor man? David says, he's a ben maves, he has to die. Nathan says, atah ha'ish, you're that man. What does David say? Chatasi l'Hashem. No excuse. Right? Just like Yehuda way back in the Torah. He was Moda. Right? Sadka mimeni. That's the power of David HaMelech. Right? No excuses. We have to recognize where we have to improve and just do it. And try not to beat around the bush. Right? Some suggest, once heard many years ago, probably about 25, 30 years ago. Remember in NYU from Rav Aaron Kahn, he was giving a Musar Shmuz before Yom Narayim, and he quoted this Yerushalmi at the end of Tosas, the end of Rosh Hashanah, about Aim Sisera. We know why there are 100 kolos, because of the mother of Sisera cried 100 cries. And every Sefer on Rosh Hashanah asks, why do we care about the mother of Sisera, the mother of this anti-Semitic general who probably killed so many Jews? Right? Why do we care that she was crying because her Sisera didn't come back from the battle? Because Yoel had taken care of him in the tent. So he explained, if you look at the psukim, in Source 20, she's looking out the window. Where's my Sisera? Where's my booby? Where's he? And what happens? Chachmo sarosa taneh. Her maidens are saying, nah, he's getting more women, he's getting more money, he's coming. And as the sun sets, and the sun's going down, it sinks in, and she realizes, she sees the MS. It hits her in the face. He's not coming back. All the excuses fall away. And that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. When all the excuses fall away and we stare at truth in front of us, that's what tshuva is about. Tshuva is about coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we realize we have to improve in certain areas without excuses, right? We were Makabel Torah again on Purim and we recognize that's what we have to do. Without pushing anything off more. Right? The Gemara says, if you remember Shabbos Peches, the last source, for Yitzyasu B'sachta Sahar, they stood at the foot of the mountain, Kavalem Arkegigis, Hashem held the mountain over their heads like a barrel. We spoke about that in the past, why a barrel. But he says, if you accept the Torah, great. V'imlav Sham Teik Furaschem. Many different Pshatim. What is that word, Sham? It should say, Kan Teik Furaschem. Here's your burial. What do you mean, Sham Teik Furaschem? So many different Pshatim, but one of them is, if you accept it now, what you have to do, great. Imlav, if not, shum, if you say then, if you have the attitude of, I'll fix it then. Right now it doesn't need fixing. Shum, I procrastinate, I push something off, I'll take care of it in the future, take for Aschim, that's the burial of the idea. If we realize that we have to do something, then we have to do it right away. And, you know, each of us have different areas. Life is constant growth, right? Life is going up a down escalator, right? If we're not going up, we know which way we're going. So we have to constantly, every day of our lives, every stage of our lives, what could I improve on? But especially at those moments during the year, those big moments, and Purim's a big one. We have to think about, so what could I do? Purim's the beginning of a process. Purim, Pesach, Shavuos. That's really the process. Right? Purim starts it. So we have to figure out what could I do? How could I improve my connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? Number one, I have to stand up for what I believe in. I could be an Az Kanomer, like David HaMelech was. Right? Number two, I have to get rid of all the Amalek in my life. I have to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. Hashgachas Hashem as much as I can. In this challenging time period of the world, and of our lives, we have to do what we can to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, we have to be truthful. Where can we improve? And just stare at it, and Beit Hashem, act based upon it. If we could do all of this, then we could really use Purim as the special day that it is, Yom Kippurim, as the Tikkuni Zohar says, that it's a day that could bring tremendous atonement, right? Not through yira, through simcha, through being involved in the world, through eating, through drinking, through connecting to each other. So B'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to be able to get the most out of Purim. And again, the more we put into it, the more we get out of it. B'ez Hashem, we should be zocha to fulfill all the mitzvahs hayom, and B'ez Hashem, get the most out of Purim, halachically, religiously, and spiritually. Okay, we'll stop here.